that God has made each of you special or significant. Just as you were saying hello to one another, you didn't see someone else that looked like you, right? I think in our church, there's only two people that sort of look alike, and that's Peter and John, if you know them. They own the Anti restaurant, but one wears glasses, and the other one's married and got a kid, so you can identify them through that way. Yes, one got married, Joseph. So. You are special. You are unique. And let's go ahead and hit that. Great job, Allison, of bringing that up. And, you know, a lot of us feel like this. We just sort of have this form, and we really don't know who we are. We're just kind of like, oh, I'm just kind of water. You know, what is it, 70, 80%? Okay. 75, bones. Okay, I got some type of thought activity going on, but really, who am I? How has God shaped me? And like I said before, that you are significant and special. How do I know that? First of all, because God has said, and we know that from the Bible, God has created you. And He created you in His image. Okay? You don't pick up a rock. You don't, pet little Smokey or Spotty. You don't go up to a tree. And it doesn't say they created those in God's image. In Genesis 1, 26 to 27, it's only you, the human, that God has created in His image. You're not cosmic goo or just fate. Okay? And when we look in the mirror, you get a chance today. You, all right, connecting? Okay. This is you, and this is the image of God. Piece of it. Okay? The other people you're seeing, yeah. There's a little bit of God there. That's what God has said. If you want to continue to check your hair, ladies, I'll put it right here. Okay? The mirror reflects the image of God. That's you. You are special and significant. Another reason we know this is because it very much says of everything, God has saved you. It says in Titus 3, 4 through 5, a great verse, but when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of the righteous good work things that we did, but because of His mercy, His grace. God had one Son, only one Son, Jesus Christ. And He died for me, for you, and for the world. In my heart, when I come before the Lord in worship, that's pretty special. Third reason I know that each of you are unique and special is what Ephesians 2, 8 through 10 says. And it talks about, first, that God has saved you by His grace. But then it goes on to say more. For it is by grace you've been saved through faith. This is not from yourself. It is the gift of God, not by works that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, God's work, created in Christ to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We are special. God has made us His work and created us to do good work. God didn't just set up in heaven and create people for kicks and fun. Hey, God, Trinity, check this out. Or He didn't just save us to demonstrate, look, I got the power. He created us and saved us for more. To bring glory to God, ultimately to bring glory to God, but also to serve Him. To do wonderful things for Him and through Him. You are significant. You are special. God created you. God saved you. God has made you His special work. Go ahead, you may not feel like it, but go ahead, turn to your neighbor and say, hey man, you're special. Hey man, you're special. You're special. say. Some of you are thinking, yeah, right? Really? Some of you are like, give me more. Give me more. Okay? Continuing on with this verse. You know, we weren't just put here on earth to consume. God wants us to contribute. And I want to use an example here, and I hope it works. I hope the machine works. But anyhow, a lot of times, I'm sorry, we become consumers and only consumers. And that equals selfishness. I mean, America is totally into consumption. We got the whole McDonald's and I think Supersize, right? Some of us, I mean, our best dream week after week is how do I get to that buffet? Some of us, our hope is to get to that shopping center, right? I mean, actually, my wife and I like, okay, man, I got like Kohl's. And Kohl's, we can always find the 80% off, and then we look in the mail for the extra 20% off, and we are just so excited when we get shoes or something for $10. You know, 80 down to 10. But still, we begin to consume. And we are not here just to consume. We are not here just to suck up a bunch of life like this vacuum. But that's all we do. And after a while, that's all we know. And we really can't hear God. And we can't really see and understand what He wants to do in our life. Okay. Some of you are like, man, that was pretty getting annoying. All that sucking, all that consuming. But I kind of wonder how God feels. When all we do is day after day run after Him to consume things for ourselves, and never really step back and say, hey, what do you want me to give to someone today? How do you want me to contribute in this life? God created us to serve Him. And He saved us to serve Him. And I love that picture of Wally. Actually, we went to the movie theater and watched that. And there's two things I remember about it. Like, first of all, like, what is going on here? And the second was my wife passed out. Like, she had the best sleep during that movie. You're like, oh, how could you sleep during Wally? You know, like, but yeah, Wally, giving back. God has created us to give back. And, you know, a lot of times we might think, well, you know, God's pretty selfish. He just created me so I could serve Him. What kind of God is that? But initially, we know God has created us from His love. He loved us so much that He gave His only begotten Son. But He also created us for more. And I'd like to take a quick look. That's that picture. I brought another picture. You know, what is the purpose of a picture? Okay, memory. Okay, you see the image? Yeah, what do we do with it? I mean, right, it just hangs there. And that's all it does. I mean, it just hangs there. And we kind of look at it and we can remember and maybe, you know, try to figure out what it was that or who are these people. But it's another way. You know, You and I, we were not created like a picture. We are created to do something more. We just don't sit around and say, hey man, I'm saved. That's great. We are created for God's glory to begin to work and live for Him. Now, 2 Peter says, for a man is a slave to whatever has mastered him. And I like this interesting verse because in life there's a lot of things that begin to become our master. And there's things we serve. For you who are in college or heading out, some of us become slaves to our work. You're like, oh man, I hope that never happens to me. But more money, I need more money, give me more overtime, I'm staying late. It's my goal. Some of us then become slaves to money. And that's what we serve. For some of us, it's TV. You know the schedule. Right now, if I asked you what was on Monday night, 8 to 9, 9 to 10, you could tell me. And not just one channel, three of them or four. Some of you are serving computer games. I mean, you know everything, how much experience points is needed to reach level 1, 2, 3, 20, and just everything about it. Some of you are into food and you serve food. And you just long for the next meal. We're doing anything to get these things. And it becomes our master. And we begin to serve it. Instead of serving God. And really, it just is two things, right? Self or God. That's our choice. And actually, there's a third choice. Because, you know, I'm to serve God, but I'm also to serve others. We get this greatest command. I always go back to this. Well, why do I always go back to this? This greatest command. From Jesus to us. And there's two parts of it. We got to remember, there's always two parts. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Well, if we're thinking like, how do I do that? How do I love God? How do I serve Him? That's why He gives us the second part. And the second command is like this. Love your neighbor as yourself. Serving God is serving your neighbor, loving your neighbor. God is the God that throughout the Old Testament and New talks about loving and serving widows, the orphans, the aliens, people that are not part of your group. God says in 1 Peter 4:10, use whatever gift you've been given to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Serving others. I got a gift. What do I use it for? Ah, open it. This is awesome. I'm keeping it for myself. No, you got a gift. You got to use it for others. And what does it display? What does it give out? God's grace. If you can give God's grace to other people, it's the greatest gift that they could ever get. That's Jesus wrapped up, on the cross, out of the tomb. God's grace to us. Now, next part. We have purposes in life, and I like what the Bible says, and then Rick Warren comes away with five different purposes, and it helps me keep things clear, and there might be definitely some more. The five purposes, I use bless, B-L-E-S-S, bring delight to God, love others, emulate Christ, serve, and share the good news. And we're talking a lot now about that fourth one, that serving. And the way that he puts it is my ministry is serving God by serving others. I like that. Just really simple. Serving God through serving others. And I like a lot of times when you go into different churches, and to me it's a little bit corny, but at the same time it's very true when they say like on their bulletin, and who is the pastor is like Reverend Wong, but all 200 members of C4 are the ministers. And, you know, we kind of use that, don't we? Kind of like, no, today I'm not. Well, today, yeah, I'll be the minister. And what they're saying is if you're serving, you're giving, that a Christian who is not serving is really not a Christian at all. And some of us are church hoppers. It's hard for you to serve if you're a church hopper. It's hard for you to be a Christian. It's hard to be all that God has created you to be. I'm a minister. You're a minister. That means that you're serving. Now, when you come here on Sunday, do you get ready to minister? How many of you this morning when you came got ready to minister? Raise your hand. Okay, you're on the worship team. You got to raise your hand. If you're a greeter, if you're there. And then anybody else who was ready to minister? Okay. Good. Now, do you get ready to minister when you go to school? When you go to work? When you come home to your family? I don't care if it's your mom and dad who you don't like, or your little sister who drives you crazy, or your wife who is so lovely and beautiful and kind every day to you. Okay? Are you ready to minister? But you know what? We got a problem with compartmentalism. And I wish I had a filing cabinet, because a lot of times what we do, right, we are walking around, we're believing, we're trusting the Lord at church. It's pretty safe. But then when we go to work, we pull up the filing cabinet, we drop our Bible in, our faith, and we shut it, and then we open another one that says the work one. Okay? Or maybe the family one. I don't know where you're at. But we like to separate it. But your life, God's creation, your special, unique shape has been made for your whole life. And some of you get it. Some of you are like, I'm living Jesus no matter where I'm at. But some of us are like, the file drawer comes out, Bible drops in, faith drops in, goes shut, and you pull up another part of your life. Quick review here. What am I talking about so far? You're special and you're significant. God's created you that way. To serve Him and to serve others. Now, how do we do that? This serving God, serving others and stuff. And that's where we're talking about today, our shape. And basically we just have two goals of this whole series, discovering our shape and ministry. This might seem redundant, but number one, discover your shape. Find it out. Two, discover where you need to be ministering. Where you need to be serving. And I'd like us to think of these four different areas, which we'll talk a little bit about quickly later. Now, what does this whole shape term mean that Rick Warren came up with? Because you're probably wondering, man, why does he keep using this word? Is he talking about my figure? Or what's going on? Okay, now, SHAPE is an acronym that means S, spiritual gifts, H, heart or abilities, passions, A, abilities, P, personality, and E, experiences. Okay. So our spiritual gifts, there's a list of spiritual gifts, 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, some from the Old Testament that shares about God giving this special, a bit of a supernatural ability to use for Him in building up His church and His kingdom. Some to name some are like a gift of prophecy, a gift of mercy, a gift of healing, a gift of encouragement. I feel like God has personally given me a gift of encouragement. So if Pastor Kurt sends you a letter that says good job or encourages you in some way, you don't have to think, what does he want from me? Okay? That's not my intention. Okay? If you would like to continue to serve more and do that, praise God. But be encouraged. God loves you. We love you. Your heart. And this one we need to think of the word passion. Okay? Desires and passions in your life. Some of you have a passion to play soccer or sports. you get into it. That's great. How can you use that for God? A passion for worship. I have a passion for seeing people set free and healed. Actually, I feel like God has called me in my life that I may come and heal people physically, relational, emotional, sexual, spiritual, economically, and that He gives me that ability and that passion so others may then go out and heal and set free other people. Ability. What kind of abilities do you have? And some of you, again, the way you look at yourself, I don't have any abilities. Come talk to Pastor Kurt. I'll point out some abilities for you. Usually people have. Your ability. Some of you know how to take care of computers. I don't. Okay. You know what button to push when I'm looking for that button for like 2 hours. Okay. That's your ability. Come and help me. Okay. Art. Some of you are really into art. My little girl, she loves art. I wish she was into sports. I'm into sports. But she's not. She loves art. She comes home from school. She begins to imagine and draw. And she writes books. And today she was drawing stars. Look, Daddy, I can draw a star. Five-pointed star. And she didn't just draw the star. Then she made the star into a person. Yeah, I mean, she's like, totally going. I'm like, man, that is great. I still wish she liked sports. But you are awesome. Yeah. And she does. Now she plays Nerf basketball with Nate. Personality, the way you act, feel, think. Are you an introvert? You like being by yourself, you gain energy, or you love to be with people. Or maybe you like totally task person. Or maybe you don't care about the task, you're like total people for people. People person. You're doing your task, as soon as somebody texts you, emails you, gets you on chat, shows up at your house, like, forget that. Time to hang out. Your personality. Your experiences. Some of you, this might sound funny, have given birth. I don't have that experience. I don't understand. You can help me understand. Some of you have taken the SAT test. And somebody younger, you like, what's up with that test? How hard is it? You can use that experience to help them. Marriage. You can help someone. Okay? Maybe you've had, some of you as youth, maybe have had maybe one disagreement with your parents. You could actually use that to talk to other youth to help them out. Pray for them. Good or bad, God wants you to use your experiences for His glory. Your whole shape. Now, why do we need to discover our shape in our ministry? I think 1 Peter 4:10-11 has some suggestions. Okay, yeah. 1 Peter 4:10-11. Why don't we read this together if you can see it? Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Why do we need to know how to serve? How to use our shape? Maybe so we can be real cool, so we can get a lot of friends, so we can get our picture up at the hospital or a statue of us. Is that the goal? Is that the reason? Here at the very end, Peter tells us the main reason. So that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, the power, forever and ever. To give God the glory. Our number one purpose in life. To bring delight to Him. When you use your shape, when you're serving and you're ministering, God is delighted. When you use your shape, God is delighted. That word again, shape. What does it mean? S? H? A? P? E? You guys are doing great. Or is that on the
Okay.
You guys are doing great. And it's funny that you just, when you're doing this, you're just not bringing delight to God. You're going to bring delight to your own heart. It's very true. The way God created you, it wants to come out. And then when you start giving out, you find joy. And it's just not for God and you finding joy, but the person that you're doing it for begins to have the same joy. They're delighting. God is delighting in all of it. And the world is very much a better place. I believe that. A second reason that we need to discover our shape and our ministry is this first part of 1 Peter 4:10. So that I know how to best, and that word's key, best serve God in my work ministry, in my family ministry, at home, my church ministry, and in the world. Help us to best understand how to do that. Now, we've heard that about when you try to take a square peg and put it in a round circle, right? It just doesn't go very well. And sometimes we get frustrated, right? And we begin to hammer at it. So, you know, these certain ones go into certain places. And if you're trying to get that guy into the star, you guys remember this when you were young? Did you have these toys? Okay, I had the toy, like the very first slide, it was like a ball, and then you put it in the ball, and that was back in 1974 or 5, so, and that's the one they had. You try to put it in there, and the fact is if you keep trying to make your shape fit into that, I better not bust their toy. You will get hurt, if you can see this, all splintered up. And more than likely, the people you're working with are going to get hurt. You're going to get frustrated. You could get depressed. You could get very angry. And this is why it's important to discover who we are. You know, in the church, and I think of my dad, a lot of times it's just kind of things with words. You know, you worship with words. The pastor speaks with words. You look at the outline with words. They get you to get up and you repeat the Apostles' Creed with words. And my dad used in the Methodist Church had to come up and stand at that lectern and he had to read Bible verses and he had to lead people. That's not him. He was totally fearful of that stuff. He's a farmer. He likes to work with his hands. You tell him fix this, he fixes it. Boom, done, over. Up there, oh, it's a struggle. His knees are shaking. You know, for me, a lot of times, I don't know if I should be sharing this, some of you may be like, yeah, that's what you need to do. You know, sitting in the office, studying, typing, reading books, that's not me. I want to go out and be with people. That's why I have 4 men's groups that I meet with. And we talk about life. I want to apply Jesus to people's lives. I don't want to apply it always to a piece of paper. It works on me. So I need to have that where I'm going out and talking with you. I need to be applying. And you know, sometimes around here, I'll go out and fix stuff too because I like working with my hands. Cracking the floor, right guys? The history is that we wax the floor over there, so. I'm going to skip the part about how do you choose your work. Okay? Choose your work according to God's shape in your life and according to His calling. You know, just real over past break, had a guy come into my office in college. mom and dad, right? Number one way to choose what you do in college is your mom and dad, right? I mean, you only got three choices. Doctor, lawyer, engineer. Right? And maybe businessman. If you make a lot of money. But then you've got to get a lot of money if you're going to study that one. I had a guy come into my office. He's like, man, you know, mom and dad want me to study this. But I really feel like God's given me a heart to reach people, to have like a mercy, a compassion upon them. When I hear their story, my heart really beats with theirs. And I just want to see them healed. I want to see them set free. I'm like, man, you got to really pray more about studying engineering. And I was in engineering, and I was kind of the same way. What does God want to do in your life? You know, it's just not here at church that we want to apply ministry and serving and apply the way God has shaped us. We also want to apply it at our work. We want to apply it in our homes. We want to apply it around the world. A quick example I can think of is that in our home, you know, we like to try to keep it clean and organized, but the fact is, that's just not Maylon's specialty. That's not the way God shaped her. For some reason, I receive big time joy when I'm organizing things. I don't know why. Like, when I can get that done and over, this just looks so nice. I really get into that. So you know what? We don't make Maylon try to organize things anymore. I just do it. And you know what? It don't try to make me cook anymore. It just doesn't go well. Maylon actually has found a lot of joy in getting Asian cookbooks and going through them, whether it be Korean or Thai. And then she likes preparing these things. This is our family. This is at our home. We begin to discover, hey, this is the way we're shaped. Let's don't try to pound you into doing something. Why don't Kurt, you just organize, and Maylon, you cook. I want to add a warning to this whole shape thing. And Rick Warren says it well. You know, there's two different ways to serve, and we'll look at that. But the warning is, you can't always serve the way you're shaped. This is the fact. Sometimes you get a man up, and you just got to do what you need to do. Okay? Again, we bring God glory when we're serving, and especially the way we're shaped. But also, one of those purposes was to best serve Him. And that's how I think you can best serve God through your shape. Most effective, most efficient. But there's some times where you just got to do what you got to do. Maybe you got a job you don't like. Sometimes, if you got to bring home money home for the family, you got to go to your job. Sometimes you got to clean your room or your house. You don't like to do it. That's just not the way I'm shaped. You got to do it. You know, we waxed the floor over here. And it just was a job that needed to be done. And you know, I didn't have guys say, oh man, look at my hands. They're real soft. That's the way I was shaped. I can't push that broom. I said, get to work. I don't care if you got soft hands or not. Oh, you know, the way God shaped me is I love to sleep till noon. I just can't get up. And I call him on the phone, time to get up, get in here. I got the gift of tongues. What? Get in here. I'm a people person. I just like to talk, encourage people. I don't really like to do any work. What? You know, you just got to do what you need to do. But at the same time, I was examining these young men. Hey, who had more strength to hold this, you know, I don't, what was that agitator thing? Okay? Who was more detailed and so I could put in the corners and make sure they got it done? Who was very responsible so if I left three guys together, they weren't having a party while I was gone? Somebody would keep them in line. I was looking at their shape and then putting them correctly in the correct places. I wasn't trying to, you know, force them in to the wrong hole there. Two ways to serve. One, where you're needed. Two, the way you're shaped. we have to always remember these and try to work them out together. Quick review. I think it's on there. One, you are special. God has created you each unique. There's no one in here the same. God created you in His image. God has saved you through His Son. And God now has not only saved you just to be hanging on the wall doing nothing, but created you as His workmanship to do good works for His glory and others. Serve God, serve others. Why do we need to discover our ministry and shape? One, bring glory to God. Two, best figure out how we're going to serve. Next week, we'll discover two more reasons why we need to be discovering our shape in that. And then we'll get into spiritual gifts. Let's go ahead and pray. Father God, we thank You that today we can begin to really discover who we are, our shape. God, we don't want to continue to pound ourselves into the wrong ministry or shape or hole, even though we know sometimes, God, we just got to get down to business and do the work You've called us to. And Jesus, we pray that You would really come, Lord. I'd really pray for this, that some have had experiences in the past that have been painful. But God, I know You even want to use those experiences. That's going to be our last session, but I want to pray for it today. God, that You would even use those harmful or painful experiences, that they could speak into people's lives and heal others, Lord Jesus, for Your glory and Your kingdom. We love You, Jesus. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.